Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday night. It is 10 o'clock on the East Coast, and this is Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ace Diamond, and tonight, finally, I've got a guest who was at All In and StarCast. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Shooting the Shiznit podcast, Brian Trammell, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how's it going there, Ace? How's it going tonight?
It's going great. How about yourself?
Oh man, doing good on a Friday night. It's only 9 o'clock here, and I want to apologize. It's took me so long for us to actually get together here. I ended up doing two or three episodes about with our podcast about the trip, but it's fun to be on the other side of a podcast, since I always produce my own and interview everybody. So,
you know, I know the feeling. I've tried to get on as a guest on more and more podcasts. I've only done a couple. But it is fun to be on the other side occasionally. So let's talk about All In. And for my listeners, I promise this will be the last show I do about All In.
Oh, well, I'm sure I can't promise that. Because I've got...
I promise my listeners this will be mine. Because I did a whole week last week. And...
Oh, really?
I did all week last week, and I'm sure they're tired of hearing about it as much as I'm tired of talking about it.
Well, I had a great time. I drove up from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm originally from around Memphis, so you won't be hearing that St. Louis accent. You hear my Memphis, Tennessee accent. But we drove up. It's about 5 hours from St. Louis to Chicago on a Thursday. We started about 6 o'clock in the morning, arrived around lunchtime, and went to one of the most famous diners there, right downtown at Manny's Diner. Had some turkey meatloaf and cream potatoes, and then we went over to StarCast and. We went to the hotel and then went over to StarCast. We didn't stay at the StarCast to where the hotel was, because we got one about a third of the price and by not staying there where the convention was. But we got over there, and man, it was something that was really neat is that I've been to some Wizard World conventions, and it takes a long time sometimes for you to give them your ticket and do you get your bracelet and move on through, you know. But it didn't take me no time. I bet me and my wife stood there maybe 10 minutes. My friend Lance, who does Cool Kids Countdown with me, he was already in there, and the place was already hopping. Everyone walking around, there's people all over the place. So it was fun. It was fun. It was a convention atmosphere already there on Thursday afternoon.
So, how many of the panels did you get to attend?
Man, I went to a lot of the panels. I'm sitting here trying to pull up my pictures here, because I took a picture. I had actually the panels circled the ones I wanted to go to, and we hit the Eric Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard that night. That place was absolutely packed for that. I mean, there was no seat left in the house. The crowd was popping for everything. And we learned this, throughout the weekend, we're going to so many panels like we did, that Bruce was, man, he was a big part of the convention and what a lot of people wanted to see. I mean, actual panels were sold out. I mean, you could sit down easily in all of them, I heard the Bruce Pritchard roast was just packed. And then that one with him and Bischoff that night, that's the one we went into Monday night, Wars debate. It was absolutely packed, and the crowd, man, the crowd loves him. I mean, they love Bruce Pritchard.
He's a likable guy.
Yeah,
I actually had his brother on my show one time.
Yeah.
I actually had Tom Pritchard on my show. I want to say about 7 years ago now.
Oh, wow, yeah.
It's been a while, but yeah, okay. I had Tom Pritchard on a long time ago. He's a really nice guy. He's a really good interview.
Well, man, he just, he eats the crowd up. They liked him. We listened to some of, I don't know if you're familiar with Pro Wrestling Torch's Bruce Mitchell. He was there with Wade Keller, and we had known Wade since we all were really young. We actually touched base with them and talked to them a little bit. And then we went down and looked at some of the people that were in the convention that is already set up, but there wasn't a lot of stuff that night. And I came back the next day for the 4-star panel with Meltzer, Keller, Bruce Pritchard, and Brian Alvarez. And then we walked into the Total Nonstop with Jarrett. All of the panels were really good. We got to see The Dark Side of the Ring, which is a premiere from Viceland about Bruiser Brody. We watched that. And then I pretty much left that day. I was so tired. My friend stayed for the weigh-in with the Young Bucks, and he said it was completely packed too. So, and they said the roast was completely packed. And then I came back the next day. That was the day of All In. We listened to some of. Oh, we went to the 1-2-3 360 degrees of the NWO. Which was Hall, Nash, and X-Pac. We sat through that. That was real fun. And the Death of the WCW panel, I came at the end of it as we were waiting for Keep It at 100 Live with Conan. We're friends with me and Lance. Both are friends with the producer of that podcast. So we just had a really good time. We went to all those panels and hit the convention of a lot. We were in and out watching the wrestlers interact with each other. We actually didn't do any meets or greets or anything like that. We paid like $60 for our bracelet or less and got to see pretty much everything we wanted to see.
You know, I can't imagine. You know, I ordered it on All In, so I ordered the whole, or on Fight TV. So I ordered the whole weekend, and I don't think I've watched a fourth of it yet.
You got the whole deal with the Fight Network?
I got the whole deal with Fight TV, and I don't think I've watched a fourth of it yet. I just haven't had time.
Oh, there's so much there. Yeah, it's a... I said this on our show and really put it over, guys, that if you're listening to this and you want to, it's a sweet deal for us. It was $99. I don't know if it's any more now, but at one point it was $99, and you get all the panels. You actually get I bought it so that I could not really rewatch anything, but see some of the panels that I missed. So I'm kind of, and I hadn't had a chance to look at them either.
Yeah, because I do everything on my own with my podcast, and it's like I don't have much time to do anything else while I'm lining up guests and, you know, writing out outlines of what I want to talk about and all that stuff. There's only so many hours in a day.
Oh, yeah. We just I just put our new episode out yesterday. We had Austin Gunn, who's on there, who was at All In. It's Billy Gunn's son. And we talked about all the figures of All In and everything. Got to talk to him. A real, real nice kid. Yeah, he's got, if he keeps his head on straight, probably got a long, long career in this business. He just is real humbled about everything, just real good. By the way, we did see Billy Gunn was the biggest human alive there at All In. This guy was, he's standing in the convention hall with all the other workers, you know, you, Brian Cage, you name it. Billy is huge. He's like, you know, I talked to this, to Austin about this, you know, his dad's 54 years old. I'm 51. So we're kind of the same age. I got a daughter, 24. So, you know, Austin's 24. So, and then I look at this guy and he is just huge. I mean, big, big, big. There was like a ton. The bad thing about All In was the bathrooms. Like, there's so many people, like, not All In, but at the StarCast, there's like 11,000 people in this hotel, maybe two bathrooms, you know. So all the guys are going in and out of the, yeah, it was nutty. So I walk into the bathroom, and Billy Gunn is standing at the urinal. And I said, fuck this. I'm sorry. I hope I can cuss on your show.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. And I said, fuck this. I turn around. I said, I can't even compete with this guy. You know, that's what I'm thinking in my mind. I'm not even going to get close to him. And my wife and my friend was laughing at me. And all of a sudden, I almost run into Tonga Tama. And he's actually, we're about the same size. So it was like, okay. So some of these guys look so much different, you know, live. A lot of the guys were really small. I think, you know, the one guy was Billy Gunn that was big. I think I was kind of surprised at Blue Meanie. He's a big man. You know, I had never met Meanie. I had him on my podcast, and we've talked off and on Twitter and Facebook because we have some mutual friends. But this first time I'd ever met him, he's a bigger man than I thought. But most of, you know, just really normal-sized people, and not bigger than life. But Billy Gunn, guys, you just you have to meet that to see how big he really is. But everyone seemed to be having a good time. I there's a couple of people I seen that I knew that I went over and shook their hands. And I've been knowing Jeff Jarrett since he started, and then been friends with Dutch Mantel for years. So I was able to say hi to them. I actually hadn't seen Jarrett since he went into the WWE the first time. So it was one of those things where, hey, you know, and then Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer Newsletter, we hadn't seen him in right at 30 years. So just some people in the wrestling business I've known for a long time was able to see, but it was quite an experience. The convention was, man, it was hopping. There was a lot of money being made, a lot of guys there, you know, Buff Bagwell, you name it, just tons and tons of people. So,
yeah, I wanted to go, but due to health and financial reasons, I wasn't able to make it work. If they do it again, hopefully they'll do it in Chicago again or somewhere a little closer to my home of Cincinnati. But
yeah. I mean, the All In show was just me being in St. Louis kind of gave me the 5-hour drive, which I pretty much just determined that we was going to do it. And I was, like I said, it's been 30 I talked about this on my show. We've been 30 years since I'd been to a wrestling convention. So it was fun. And the All In show was real, I don't know. It just felt real special that I was, I mean, a lot of people probably said this, but it just really felt like I was there. There was something special going on. We won't know. I mean, you know, probably won't know for another year what it actually meant. But, you know, I mentioned this on the other show with Austin Gunn. We talked about there was over 11,000 people there. The gate was $500,000. Fight TV that you gave the $100 to did more than $1 million between the pay-per-view sales and the StarCast thing that you got. Pro Wrestling Tees did $500,000, and it was the largest non-WWE gate, they said, since 1999, WCW did one about the same, and then going all the way to 1994 for an independent date, which was AAA in Los Angeles. But all of those shows had television. This show did not feature anything but a YouTube being the elite. That, you know, I think half of the people that were there actually watched it, and the other half, like me, had never watched Being the Elite because some of the stuff that was a little over my head, I didn't know what was going on at the event.
Yeah, I've actually never watched Being the Elite either. So,
you know, and it was the Battle Royal. I hate Battle Royals, but I actually rewatched it yesterday. Excellent Battle Royal. First match was fun to watch. The whole show was, you know, when we seen it live, and I haven't went back and watched it on tape, until the last three matches, overall we were giving it like a thumbs in the middle, even though we were loving the crowd and, you know, really enjoyed the atmosphere and everything, was glad to be there. But after the last three matches were over, we was like, yeah, thumbs up, it's a great show, really good matches. You know, the Jericho surprise was awesome. The crowd just went totally nuts when that happened. I was kidding around saying that, you know, they're going to lose their shit when CM Punk walks out. And we had been kidding about that all day, about who was going to show up. It was either going to be Neville or Punk is what we thought. And then we never mentioned Jericho. And then when it was him, it was a huge, huge pop in the – and for us, too. I mean, we really marked out about it, too. It was pretty neat. Pretty neat to be there.
I swear when the lights went out, the first thing that I said, I was watching it by myself, and the first thing I said out loud is, that's got to be Punk. And then
yeah,
it came back on, and then I saw the tattoo. I was like, oh, it's Jericho. Okay. I wasn't as excited about it being Jericho.
Oh, we were, because we didn't even see it until he did the Codebreaker. And then when he did the Codebreaker, because when the lights come back on and we were sitting there, it was like, oh, well, Pentagon's still out there. So what the hell, you know? And then boom, that was and, you know, being there for, even though the NWA title is not as big a deal these days, although they've worked on that recently, it was fun to say I was there for an NWA title change. I haven't went back and watched that match, but that was tons of smoke and mirrors, a bunch of stuff in that we didn't expect, but I've been told it's a lot better than I thought it was. The main event was quick, but God, it was fun. The crowd was so hot for the Bucks and everyone in that match, so it was really fun to watch. But I thought Omega and Pentagon was my favorite, and the villain in Okada did just another awesome match live. So
yeah, that on TV, that was Marty Scurll and Okada was it Scurll and Okada? Yeah, that was a hell of a match. All the matches were great, I thought. Well, the only thing that I didn't like about the entire show was the Joey Ryan segment.
Well, you can listen to one of our episodes. We actually, one of my guests, Brennan Martin, was there, whose grandmother was Teeny Jarrett, was also Jeff Jarrett's grandmother. He was there, and he actually got up and left. So he left the actual con. He was there appearing at the con, and he left the con. I, being there live, like I said, I didn't really get that part of the story. He's actually on episode 149 for Shoot the Shiznit, if you guys want to listen. We're on iTunes and everything. I'm going to plug myself like crazy, so. We're on iTunes.
Be my guest.
Podcast Addict. We're on everything when it comes to, if you want to, just a podcast player, you can listen. We did an episode on Thursday before we left where we talked about all the podcasts that we're all in, and was not too nice to some of them, but they were good sports at the show, and And then we did one when we came back, and then we came back and I did one with Gene Jackson, who was there with us. He's one of our guys. And then we did one with Austin. So we've done like four shows on All In. But, yeah, you know, when I seen it, I got a laugh out of it because it looked like, you know, The Undertaker was coming out and all penises. I've got a really weird, sick sense of humor. So, after seeing what it was really about, I really wasn't offended. Here's the thing about the show, All In. When going to the show, I really highly expected it to be, you know, more like a New Japan show, where it's all work rate, you know, boom, 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 wrestle, 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 wrestle. And by the middle of the show, I knew that I was not at one of those shows. I was at a wrestling show. I was at a sports entertainment show, and Meltzer's the one that said that on his show afterwards, that that's what it was. And it didn't really offend me. Like I said, it takes a lot to offend me. I thought it was odd. Joy coming down and doing his one spot, it had one of the biggest pops of the night. So I guess you just had to be there live realizing how big Joy was to the crowd.
Yeah. And I get it. I get that it's sports entertainment, but I'm a bit younger than you. I'm only 38, but I'm a professional wrestling purist. I still watch WWE. But
right.
I prefer the 80s, very early 90s WWE. Like I said, I still watch it, but that's my preferred.
We actually do a show on Was It Really That Good? I mentioned Gene Jackson. We take those shows from the 90s and the 80s, and we rewatch them and we talk about them. It's kind of fun to see that. I grew up in the Memphis area. Memphis wrestling was my favorite wrestling. I started a wrestling fan in 1978. I think everything happened to me in 77, 78, and 79. I would become a Dallas Cowboy fan. Kiss, I bought my first album, Kiss Alive, and become a wrestling fan. Now I don't buy everything Kiss comes out with, but that's still a big, huge music fan. And wrestling has always been, you know, I was there live at an event. The first event had Wayne Ferris, who become the Honky Tonk Man, was dressed up like the Kisser that night. So, because I was such a cool, big Kiss fan, that was one of the coolest things in the world to me. And then Mid-South Wrestling, just one of my favorites, some of the angles that they did in Mid-South, Rock and Roll Against Midnight, you know, JYD, all that kind of stuff. I thought Bill Watts and was so fun to watch. And I remember, and I watched Dallas late on Saturday nights. We got USWA on a local not USWA, but that was before it was USWA. It was World Class right before or after Star Trek Next Generation. And I watched both of them late on Saturday nights. I wanted to try to be home from going out with my friends, you know, by 10:30 so I could watch those two shows. But, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I grew up with. But, you know, man, I think we're just in such a the last, you know, 3 or 4 years have been, there's such a vast amount of wrestling that is so good that is available and at your fingertips. You know, technology changes this business. It changed it from, you know, VHS trading. I don't know if you did that, but that was one of the things I did. And, you know, the internet changed a ton of stuff. So, and it really does. I mean, the Young Bucks credit a lot of their stuff to YouTube for that show, being the Elite. So they had a TV show, in quotation marks, to help promote that show. So something that popular, you know, couldn't have happened maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Technology is still You know, everyone still doesn't have the internet, but technology, the internet's fast almost all the time with people that's got it. You don't have lagging audio and video like you might have had 5 to 7 years ago. So it's interesting. I really like the old stuff. There's a lot of stuff I still like. I really do, but I'm open for the, wide open for the joy rides and all that entertainment. People getting really just being able to make money is my big thing. You know, I've known Jim Cornette for years, but he's, I call him one of the biggest purists there is. But me and him don't see eye to eye about the wrestling business now. You know, he doesn't think anything was good after a certain year. But he's like that with music and with comic books and with everything else. But I really think that with so much you can watch, not only, and I quit watching WWE TV. I do watch their pay-per-views. But, you know, I'm not that guy that gets on Twitter and says, WWE sucks, WWE sucks. I'll watch it every week, but the WWE. You know, when you see what I'm saying, if you're not enjoying it, there's so much out there, Ace, that people can actually watch. I mean, from Mexico, Japan, Europe. I'm not big into any of the those UK shows, but I do watch New Japan on a regular basis and watch from Arena Mexico every Friday night. I usually watch it on Saturday mornings. So that's kind of what I'm into now, and I do go out of my way to see, you know, if there's somebody in a match that I really like, I'll go out of my way to see it. My biggest thing was growing up was, you know, Midnight and Rock and Roll, and they're just totally my favorite tag teams, and, you know, the Fabs and the Moondogs and stuff like that. So the Young Bucks, to me, that's one of the reasons I guess I'm a big fan of theirs, is that they kind of brought tag team wrestling back, and they're fun as hell to watch.
Yeah, I actually wasn't a big fan of the Young Bucks until Wrestle Kingdom earlier this year, which just happens to fall on my birthday, actually.
Well,
by
the way, that was a total different match than they usually do. So it was just a basic psychology and basic wrestling match. Very good match. I hated the Young Bucks when they were in TNA. Called them Spot Monkeys, and when they was Generation Next, I really didn't like them. But man, they're just
really
exciting to watch.
Yeah, I really didn't like them then.
But I watched a match between them and Alex Shelley, and who was Alex Shelley's tag team partner? Saban. Chris Saban the other day. On the TNA. For TNA. That match was unbelievable. I was like, I didn't like these guys then. They were really green, but Alex Shelley might be one of the most underrated wrestlers ever, in my opinion, because of the stuff that he actually helped the Young Bucks do a lot of the stuff that they're doing. At one point I thought maybe I was a purist, but I like so much stuff that's just different. You know, if it's different, I like it. And big, huge, like right now, I know in the morning I'm going to have, match from New Japan that I want to watch. And I know they have a huge hair match going on probably as we're speaking, at Arena Mexico. So that's something I'll watch. So I'll watch the pay-per-view Sunday probably. But you know, it's just one of those things. I don't want to be that fan that only watches WWE and only complains about it. You know, I mean, I'm not saying you're not that person. I understand because you said you watch other stuff, but a lot of people do that. That's all they do. And they watch WWE and they complain. You don't have to do that anymore. There's way too much stuff out there, for that to be the only thing you want to watch. So,
I watch New Japan, but. And I actually enjoy New Japan, but I've even got it marked on my calendar for their event on the 30th. But I actually have to give up New Japan World because of financial reasons again.
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, it's New Japan World is I can go, you know, I can cut it off for a couple months and go back and just watch everything catch up. That's kind of what I do. You know, that's with me. I've had it for a couple months, and now I plan to probably shut it off in a couple months and then go back and watch the big matches. One major criticism of New Japan I have is all those fucking tag team matches that drive me crazy. So, I mean, the six-man tags and the eight-man tags and, you know, this guy, you know, who's going to get pinned, you know. Unfortunately, Chase Owens takes more pins than anyone in New Japan, I think.
Yeah.
And so you kind of know it. You kind of know it. So I just kind of wait until there's something really big and I'm able to watch two or three really good matches. I think Omega Ishii is tonight, I think, or in the morning. So that should be a main event. But the only, you know, there's nothing else good on the show. There's very little good on the show for me. Kenny Omega against Ishii tonight as the main event, but rest of the show is kind of lame. And then I guess tomorrow night or tomorrow morning they have Naito against Suzuki, which should be good. But other than that, there's nothing I want to watch on the show, so that's kind of bad.
Yeah, that's not good. Like I said, I'm waiting for the special in Long Beach, so I'll get caught up then. I'll know what's going on then.
Yeah. Access has stuff, too. Like, I know if I ever quit doing New Japan World, you can always watch on AXS. If you got – I don't even have cable either. So I don't do cable. I do streaming services, and that's why I'm so into that, being able to watch anything you want to kind of thing.
Yep. So, I had a question and I just lost it.
Well, Ace, when you get me going, I talk a little bit. That's the reason I do a podcast. You know, I like to talk. So, and I've had, when I first started doing a podcast, I wouldn't let my guests talk. So I've actually changed a lot of, you know, I sit back and let my guests talk and let them say what they have to say. But if you get me as a guest, you know, you can't stop me from talking. So, but anything you've got a question about.
I normally love that kind of guest, actually, because I'm not one to talk a lot. So I like it when a guest can carry the conversation for a long time.
I do too, and that's one of the things with podcasting, you don't see it unless you do it. Like you mentioned earlier, trying to get guests, I've had people say, oh, I'll be your guest, you know, and then now they won't chat back with you. Or I had recently had a guy, I guess when I first started back doing my podcast, I did it about 6 or 7 years ago, quit it, came back when I guess everybody's got a podcast now. But I asked this wrestler if he wanted to be on my podcast, and he actually said, yeah, if you'll buy a T-shirt. So, you know, I pretty much said, screw you. I'm not paying you to come on my podcast, even though I didn't have a lot of listeners at the time. And then recently he messaged me and said something about one of his friends was on my podcast. So he was talking about his friend had got some exposure on my podcast or something, or his friend had like 4 or 5 people buy a T-shirt or something like that. And then he wanted to know something about my podcast. And I was just like, I just ignored him. I was like, no, I'm not doing this kind of thing. I'm not, you know, people are strange in the wrestling business, and they get, sometimes it's even weird. I've lost friends because of the podcast. So it's really weird. I mean, some people just don't like, they don't like your, being on there talking about and being honest about stuff. Sometimes I guess we're just too honest.
Yeah. I plan on doing a show about, well, maybe doing a show next week about, poor promoters. shitty promoters.
Yeah.
I know a few, and I've worked for a few. And actually, it's funny that you should mention somebody saying that that would be on your show if you bought a T-shirt. I actually, when I first started, I had a co-host, and he was wrestling on a show, and he asked a WWE mid-carder at the time, who just happened to be at the show hanging out in the locker room, if he would be on our show. I'm not going to say who it was to protect this person, because I've actually become friends with the person and since then. But he said, yeah, I'll do it for $500.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're not going to pay $500 to have a guest on the show. So.
Well, you know, the thing about it, I talked about this with Gene, that it was easier maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I mean, to get anybody you wanted for your podcast because there wasn't that many out there. But now there's just so many out there that you've got,
right.
You've got 100 people asking one person to be on their podcast. So they kind of probably get tired of it. And I understand that. So it's just one of those things where I usually say, you want to come on? Okay. You don't, that's fine. You know, because I interview all kinds of people. I interview fans. My main premise of mine is I get people I've known in the wrestling business for a long time, or I get somebody I don't know that, you know, he's either a fan going to every WWE show, or he's somebody I see on, you know, that's a photographer or something like that, you know, or somebody that one of these wrestlers I interviewed last month, he was on Ring of Honor. One of the prelim matches, I was like, man, that had to be, you know, it's just the first or second time he's ever done it. That has to be interesting to hear about that. So I grabbed that guy. And you find out, you know, there's so many guys in the wrestling business. You can find a guest. It's just nailing them down to do it. And sometimes it's the podcasting part is not. It's like you. You tried to nail me down 3 or 4 times. It was hard for me.
I've actually been trying for about the past 4 months to get Brian Pillman Jr. on the show. Actually, longer than that. I just pretty much gave up. He quit returning my messages, so I just pretty much gave up on trying to get him. And the night after All In, or the day after All In, I actually messaged Marco Stunt, and apparently he doesn't check his DMs on Twitter.
I guess I refrain from talking about. There's tons of people that will answer your DMs and say they'll be on your show, and then I had one of the girls from that was on the All In show, and I'd rather not say who, but we had talked before, and then. Was told after the All In show that they only made podcast paid appearances from now on. So, it's just weird to me that's the way they look at stuff like that. But then part of me, I can understand. You got a guy like Bruce Pritchard who wasn't in the business, you know, even in the wrestling business anymore 2 or 3 years ago, who was, he's got 500, which doesn't sound like a lot, but Patreon members pay $9 a piece a month. Same thing can go with Tony Schiavone. So, you know, count that. What is that? Just every month that these guys make, plus the T-shirts, plus the sponsors, plus the, they're getting close to a million downloads per episode, not a month, but per episode. So you're talking, if they put out 4 million to 5 million downloads. So it's hard for people to look at someone like me who doesn't get those kind of numbers. We get a lot more, and I'm real humble about the numbers that we get. We get a lot more than some people do. We get a lot less than the big than the big boys do. But, you know, we've been able to wrangle some sponsors, some local sponsors, some national sponsors, and be able to not really make money, but not lose money. And you know how it is. You can lose money in the in podcasting. People don't understand the equipment, the stand and all that. So.
Yeah, when you put this up, you'll have to let me know how it does, because I'm curious. I'd be curious to know how well this show does.
I would do. We talked about this. I messaged this just so people know what the hell we're talking about. I had messaged you before we started here. Ace has interviewed me, and if you're hearing this on my feed, my Shooting the Shiznit feed, we talked about me putting it on my feed also, just to see. It would be interesting to see what kind of numbers it does. You'd have a. The thing about it is, you have a built-in audience with the people that listen to me all the time, and my co-host Gene Jackson and Lance Levine. They have their own little clique or following. So we all have. I put out two shows a week. They're usually, I've had some long ones recently, but they're usually anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes. So we try to give it to you as a supplement to all these other ones. And we just, I put them out. That's one of the things that I really found that my audience grew. We've got, I think last month we did 82% more downloads than we did at the same month last year. So that's growth. We keep beating, last year's records. We could not put out an episode. We could stop right now, and we have more downloads than we had all last year. So that, me coming from a business background, restaurants is all about what you did the year before, and just so as you're ahead of what you did the year before. So we're happy with that. We keep doing this and more every year. Then that's all we can ask for, And people have been so supportive of what we do, and it's fun. And then we've had the assholes that hate any little bit of success that you have. And I had one of my friends that does a non-wrestling podcast said that he doesn't like telling his numbers, and I've got where I don't anymore either, because the people, if your numbers are low, the people make fun of you. And if your numbers are high, then people are jealous of you. So it's just almost like, okay, we're happy with their numbers. We got sponsors. Let's keep doing what we do. So,
yeah, I don't like to give out my numbers, but I occasionally will when I get asked about it. But I don't really volunteer the information.
Yeah, I mean, the only time I talk numbers is if it's one of our record episodes or. If I'm talking to a sponsor, they kind of like to look. They like to look at how many downloads you're doing every month, and so that they know how many people they're going to reach. So it's always one of those things where I say, "Here's my numbers," but this is between me and you, kind of thing. Don't share my email, blah blah blah. Blah. So, and then if we have we've had episodes. Some episodes do 20,000 downloads. One did 50,000 downloads. One with Kenny Boland. But we also have the bottom end too. So,
well, my friend, we are about out of time. So, if you got anything you want to plug, real quick.
All right, man, I will do it. Shoot the Shiznit. We try to have a show out. I always tell everyone by midnight on Tuesday, and by 10 o'clock a.m. on Fridays, two episodes. Usually, we get them out earlier than that, but Tuesdays and Fridays or Tuesday Thursdays. Kind of our days to release stuff. We started doing it on Tuesdays, and then when I added an extra show, I went to Thursdays. Tuesdays when all the new record albums used to come out for the young kids. That we actually had record albums at one time. I'm at Comic Book Mark BT. Comic Book Mark BT. Shooting the Shit at BT is also what it says. I'm a huge comic book fan, and actually, I only read a couple comics now, but Cowboys fan, and we do this podcast. Shooting the Shiznit, just search Shooting the Shiznit on Instagram. So all the episodes, all the archive episodes are stspod.club. That's www.stspod.club. You can see all of them there, and it's I've had that website up for years, but I post them all of them there. And all the podcast platforms like SoundCloud, Stitcher, like I said earlier, Podcast Addict, which is for Android phones, iTunes, which we get a lot of our listeners from, SoundCloud, we get tons of people from SoundCloud that listens to our show. So any of those, you can check us out. I post all the new episodes. On Twitter is my main thing. And then we do have a Facebook page that I post stuff on. Just look up Shooting the Shiznit on that. You'll find that. I think that's all I have to plug. You can, you know, we have all our other stuff, our sponsors, how you can get a T-shirt and all of that when you get to listening to Twitter. We're giving away an all-in. We had a sponsor. You'll get a kick out of this. But my sponsored all-in was SpunkLube.com. So we have a T-shirt that was at hashtag all-in at with SpunkLube.com, and it's got our logo on it. We're giving away that, an all-in poster, and a month supply of Spunk Lube, and all you got to do is just retweet or like an episode. For the rest of the month, I pick one person per day, and then I'm going to just do a random pick of a number and pick a person. So we're always running contests. We got a huge contest in November. If you start following us, and if you are an ECW fan, Ace, I'm going to tell you, if you're an ECW fan, if you collect action figures, if you collect one-of-a-kind things, okay? Let me just say that. I'm not going to say anything else because I ain't even told my listeners that. That will be the month to listen. We've lined up former ECW people. We're going to sit down and talk about an ECW pay-per-view, just like you hear everyone talking about the brand-new pay-per-views. You know, you just watch them. You get a round table. People sit down and talk about them. We're going to sit down and talk about an ECW pay-per-view as if it just happened. And so we're doing really fun stuff. We got a game show. It's all ECW questions. But yeah, we're giving away something really fun. And in December, we also are going to do some other prizes. Thanks to our sponsors for that, for Christmas. So I've got a, you talk about Brian Pillman Jr. We're going to have a Brian Pillman, his dad action figure signed by Brian Pillman Jr. So you'll have a chance to win that. And unfortunately, I was not able to get the Funko Pops signed from the Young Bucks, but we'll be giving some Funko Pops away during Christmas too. So I'm a planner, as you can tell. So I've got everything planned to the end to the end of the year. But yeah, get your listeners over, and I'll do the same. I'll put this show over, and me and you got a little bit more followers than I do. This can't, you know, me playing the episode or me putting it over, it can't do anything but help your numbers. So
absolutely.
You got to get on them other platforms, man. You got to get on iTunes. That's where you
start. Yeah,
SoundCloud. That's where you see it. You see the downloads with stuff like that. So, all right, man.
Yep.
I really enjoyed it. So I appreciate it, Ace. I appreciate you having me on. I hope I made it easy for you because, like I said, I like to talk.
Oh, it was great, man. I appreciate it. We'll have to do this again sometime, maybe after the 70th anniversary NWA show.
All right,
we'll
sounds
talk
good.
About
By
that.
The way, I don't think I recorded shit.
Uh-oh.
That's okay. I could take it from Blog Talk and do it, but I had everything set up, but you know you actually have to push record to record it.
Yeah. I think mine actually might have disconnected too, because the on-air button or the on-air light's off, so.
Oh, Lord.
But
all right, buddy.
I guess,
thanks anyway.
Hey, thank you, man. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Brian Trammell of Shooting the Shiznit. I hope people are still listening. My clock's still running, but it says stream connecting, so who knows? I'll have to go back and listen later. Have a good night, everybody.